So the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his direct consort, Srimati Radharani, in the presence of the demigods, in the presence of many great acharyas, who will all be here today, and in the presence of His Holiness Ananda Prasad Swami, which is a great blessing, and in the presence of all the Vaishnavas, we are now performing this initiation ceremony, which is a wonderful, auspicious occasion. It is a festival of blessings, and should be seen like that. We are not the doer. We are not the one who is in control, and it's not, we'll be taking initiation, although the English expression is like that, we're taking it, but we will be receiving, really, receiving the mercy coming down through the disciplic succession. And of course, yes, we must open to that mercy and take shelter. And in that sense, yes, we are taking shelter. It is through the process of devotional service that one becomes empowered. And it is through that empowerment that we will be able to do things that otherwise are not possible. Who can live by such rules and regulations? Who can somehow or other never slip in a lifetime? Lifetime is long. Slips happen easily. You have a mistake. But by Krishna's mercy, and by always taking shelter of Krishna's mercy again and again, that is how it becomes possible. What otherwise is not possible, actually. So we can only make such promises in a spirit of depending on Krishna very much. We chant our rounds depending on Krishna. We promise to chant rounds, but we can only finish them by the mercy of Krishna. We promise to follow principles. We can only do it by the mercy of Krishna. In the second initiation, we are meant to be saintly persons. How can we be saintly persons? It is very, very difficult to be saintly in this age of Kali especially, and in any age. To be completely transparent to Krishna, to adjust, to give up our minute independence, and to just align ourselves with Krishna's will, that is not easy. So we pray. Therefore, there is a prayer in this ceremony. We are praying to the Supreme Lord. Krishna is here. We're praying for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. It is that prayer that is making us take shelter. So the essence of the whole initiation is taking shelter. Even if we are not saintly, we take shelter of the behavior of saintly persons. And maybe one day that will make us saintly. That behavior, known as sadachar, is not just an invention. It is not just a concoction. It is not just something that was invented in this world, but rather it was revealed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore it is perfect. So So if we take shelter of whatever path Krishna has given, then we can change, and then we can get strength, and then it will be done. So it takes faith. Definitely, we must have that faith. It is that faith that if we take shelter in Krishna, that everything will be all right. There are so many little things, and all these little things, little by little, we surrender. Sometimes we say, instead of focusing on what you cannot do, let's focus on what we can do. Let's do all the things that we can do. And that will give us strength. Every little bit of surrender will give us strength. Krishna consciousness is not, it's not one decision, I will be Krishna conscious or not. Right? And now I have to take this decision. It is not one decision, it is a package. It is a full package of many activities. It is a full package of mercy that comes in many forms. Today I'm somehow or other, by a quirk of fate, sitting here as the, and the mercy of the Vaishnavas, sitting here as the initiating spiritual master. But Guru is one. Vande Guru Isa Bhaktam Isa Avatarakam. Vande Guru, Krishnadas Kaviraj is saying plural. He is worshipping the spiritual masters. And in this way, we are not just taking shelter of one spiritual master. I know only my spiritual master and no other. No, we are open to the mercy of all. We try and serve, we try and hear, we try and learn, we try somehow or other sattva-vritti to follow in the footsteps. Of course, our own spiritual master is with us. He is our personal well-wisher. He's there with us as a personal, he knows us. He knows about our strength, he knows about our weaknesses. So he'll try and his best to support us, to guide us, to be there. So we're certainly not alone in this. So as I said, the mercy comes in many ways. The mercy comes in the form of the holy name. The mercy comes in the form of the scriptures. Comes in the form of the deities. Comes in the form of the Vaishnavas. Comes in the form of the holy Dham. And these are only like the five principal limbs of bhakti. But the mercy comes in many ways. The one book that systematically gives us an overview of really what we are supposed to do after initiation is the Nectar of Devotion. Because the Nectar of Devotion is Rupa Goswami's handbook for Krishna consciousness. It is the book where he describes exactly how to cultivate one's attachment to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada in the introduction describes how everyone has a loving propensity, but how the loving propensity has somehow or other become misdirected. And we invest that love in so many things, and that love has to be redirected towards Krishna. Then the Nectar of Devotion describes how to do that and how to cultivate that love. So, especially the first 19 chapters are dealing with the with sadhana bhakti, a little bit with bhava bhakti, a little bit with prema. And then the remainder of the nectar devotion is describing more advanced stages of devotional service. And it's also inspiring to read, but not immediately the order of the day. It describes all kinds of ecstatic symptoms, and you know, we don't have those 20 times a day. So we don't really need to read a lot about that. But about the cultivation, how to cultivate spiritual life. So today we take that cultivation a step further, and we just we already started that cultivation, but we are connecting with the mercy of the parampara. When vows are taken, it is not that just these vows are given to the spiritual master, not just to Kadambakanya Swami. One might think, oh well, who's Kadambakanya? After a few years, not today, but after a few years, you might just start thinking, who's Kadambakanya Swami anyway? He's nice, but you know, but. And think, how about, you know. And I took those vows then. But I have changed now. And life has changed, and I just can't relate to it any longer. So, therefore, I don't feel obliged to follow. No. Sometimes we hear like this. No. First of all, you're not making the vow to Kadambakanya Swami, because he's just here as a representative. He's here as the representative of Krishna. He's here as the representative of all the previous acharyas. He's here as the representative of the scriptures. And therefore, through him and through that disciplic succession, we are making our vows to Krishna. And therefore, you can't take him back. Whatever you give to Krishna, you can't take it back. The vows will stay with us. We can go away, but the vows are already waiting for wherever we go. So, that's the more serious element of taking initiation. But, yes, it's an irreversible step. But, what great fortune to take such a step. What great fortune, because, yes, it is the end of our stay in the material world. We are now on the way back to the spiritual world. Everything is auspicious, everything is open. And now we have to gain strength. Strength comes from taking shelter. Taking shelter of chanting, taking shelter of early rising, so that there is time to chant. Somehow or another, when there's no time to chant, then the only option is to adjust the clock and rise earlier. That's the only way. And say, yes, but, you know, the children, then they also have to adjust the clock, adjust their clock as well. If the children are up late at night, better wake them earlier, somehow or other. It's easy. I travel a lot, and we have to change time all the time. I had to change 9 hours to come to Australia. You know, it's like, I went 9 hours ahead. Okay, I did it. Took a few days, but then I adjusted. Came from far, America.
Bombay.
5.5 hours. 5.5 hours. So, like this, also adjustments. So a little time adjustment, and suddenly we can change. Simple. To chant 16 rounds, it's not enough to have the desire. It begins there, that is good. But then it must be followed by the plan. 16 rounds require a plan, otherwise it's very hard. Otherwise life will just take over. I already planned an escape in the middle of the day today to finish my rounds. And it's it's well planned. I retell it, okay, this is the slot. And then I disappear and suddenly I'll be gone and I'll be changing. Like that, a plan. A plan is required to somehow or other bring this all to a success. Then we can make so many plans, we can do so many things, but at the same time we're dealing with our own mind. And that mind is very strong. And it goes here, there, and everywhere, and it doesn't listen. It seems to have a will of its own what to do. One thing we can do is just read the Bhagavatam. It is just amazing. See, this Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana. It is the spotless Purana. And also the purports of Srila Prabhupada, they are even more clear than the Bhagavatam itself. And they're also completely spotless. Prabhupada said, dictated by Krishna. Prabhupada used to be seen reading his own books. He said, enjoy reading your own books and all these are not my books. Krishna dictated these books. And so, somehow or other, again, it's a matter of making that part of the day. So, somehow or other, every day, let us read. Even if it is one verse, one purport. No one can say he cannot read one verse, one purport. If that is possible. When you're unconscious, I'll grant you that day. When you're in the hospital, if you're ever in the hospital unconscious, I will grant you that you cannot read, but then that's the only day. Any other day, not really. You can always find some opportunity. It's just our mind is saying, I have no time. Prabhupada gave this example of an old lady in Bengal who was told by her son at the end of her life that she should chant the name of Krishna. And she's not doing it. And so the son is repeating it again and again, chant. And finally she just blurts out, "What do you want? I'm dying." She can say that. She can say, "What do you want? I'm dying in Bengali." But she cannot say Hare Krishna. Because she's dying. So somehow or other she wasted her energy on the wrong words. She would have just said those names of Krishna. So it is a matter of adjusting. Prabhupada speaks about how the world is a world of question and answers. And everyone is just spending the whole day with question and answers. How are you? What do you want? Where do you go? What can I do for you? And so on. And can I get this? Do you know where is this? Do you know where is that? And but how about some questions and answers about Krishna every day? Little things. But all these little things become the source of so much strength. And all these little things, they will give us a lot of strength. I hear my neighbor walking in the corridor, Hare Krishna, or some prayer, and I think, that is very nice. I should also do that. just by taking advantage any moment to just remember Krishna. Smartavyam sabatam Vishnu smartavyam ajatasit. So that remembering is not just now I have to fix my mind. No, it is just do all these things. Make it a habit. Make it a habit. Just habits, they grow. After you do something for about 1 month, it's a habit. Whatever it is. Yeah. So that's why this month of Kartik is very nice, because you can take some vow, and then after the end of the month it's a habit, and then there's a good chance that you'll continue it for the rest of the year. That was the idea, actually. So in this way we are practicing our spiritual life and building up our spiritual life. I will not now give a full lecture on the 10 offenses to be avoided in the matter of chanting the holy name. But I want to say, though, that these 10 offenses are important and that we should know them, we should memorize them. So if we don't know them exactly, then we can just print them out and post them on the wall somewhere so we can see them. Because if the 10 offenses, which basically involves respecting the Vaishnavas, respecting the scriptures, even respecting the demigods, but understanding that they're not equal to Krishna. So by a respectful attitude towards scripture, towards the Lord, towards Vaishnavas, towards the holy name, we can progress nicely in spiritual life. Otherwise, if we are careless, yes, then it will be hard. Inattentive chanting, Prabhupada said, means to hear oneself chanting. So somehow or other, hear ourselves chanting. So these are some points I want to make. I'm basically with this lecture, trying to give some good advice before you will be alone with your vows. You'll take the vows, and then after you leave from here, you'll be alone again with the vows. I'll see you from time to time. I'll answer your letters also from time to time. Sometimes not. Or your WhatsApps, or your Facebook Messenger, or your whatever comes floating in a bottle, or pigeons, whatever way you find to communicate, telepathy, not too much of that. Really. I'll sleep peacefully. I'm on another time zone. Anyway. Communication, certainly we want to communicate and we want to support everyone. But whatever the spiritual master says should not be taken as casual. It's not just, he suggested this, he suggested that. No, whatever he says must be taken as very significant for our life. So, when he made some remark, then we should take that and say, oh, this is an important thing. Whatever the spiritual master says should be taken as important, as special meaning, special significance. One should never see the Buddhists in Haramatir see the spiritual master as an ordinary person. Even if his mood is sometimes casual, they joke with us like anybody else, and casual, but his interest is only one, that the association is aimed to get closer to Krishna, to bring us closer to Krishna. His life is dedicated to be close to Krishna and to get closer to Krishna. And his life is dedicated to bring others closer to Krishna. And that's the whole thing. Whether he's joking or whether he's very serious, his plan is to bring us closer to Krishna. There's no other plan, no other intention. So therefore, our spiritual master is very important in our life. It is said the meaning of the word guru is, the etymological meaning is heavy. It doesn't mean that he is a heavy person or who comes to heavy us out, heavy duty. You know, my guru is coming into town, watch out. Maybe we should quickly leave. No, not like that. Heavy, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains the meaning of heavy is there because the guru is fixed at Krishna's lotus feet and you can't move him from there. He just, no matter what you do, you can't move him from there. He just stays there. Therefore, when we turn to Guru, we automatically turn to Krishna, because he's there, his lotus feet. So automatically, he brings us to Krishna. And that is, therefore we need that relationship, and we need to invest in that relationship. We need to take it serious, what he says, we take serious. And then, somehow or other, that will make a huge difference. That will grow over time to something more significant. Sometimes we like the picture of incarnation of the guru better than the real life one, because the picture incarnation is always smiling. But the real one, you never know what he's going to say. So that's more scary. And it is scary. Because Guru, you know, he has been given absolute authority. If you disobey in third offense against the spirit, against chanting the holy name, that's serious. And the authority is absolute. Even your parents didn't have that authority. You could at least rebel. No, not doing it. I'm not eating it. But no, the guru says, take that guru charm, we are obliged. So what to do? Somehow or other, we can only do that by trust. By trust that he is there at Krishna's feet and that he will take us there. If that faith is strong, yes, then we can surrender. Otherwise, we start to, when our faith is not strong, then we think, well, this instruction I like, but that one was not practical. It doesn't make sense. It's just not practical. Can't do it. But then better discuss, then better come back and say it's not bad. Anyhow, this is my little bit of advice that I'm trying to give on this day. So it's my request that after this initiation you read the 19 chapters of the Nectar of Devotion. even if you read it before, that you read again. Somehow or another, some 13 years ago, they asked me to teach that in Bhakti Shastri, and I said, okay, I'll do that. And then I wound up doing it 13 years in a row. And it's really like, well, I missed one when I was here. But otherwise, I've been doing it. And it's like, it really started to grow on me. Right? It's powerful. It's so powerful. It became a part of me now. And I must say, it is so nice. I really find, I don't want to teach anything else. They say, do you want to teach something? I say, no. I just want to teach that every year, you know. Because it reconnects me with that basic knowledge, and simultaneously leading up to the highest. The whole process from strata to praying, from beginning to end, just so crystal clear. So it is so nice if you could just read that to you as a meditation. I would appreciate it. Okay, so then I have spoken, and of course, when a sadhu is here, sadhu must speak. Somehow or other, we must always hear from the sadhu. That is essential. And sadhu, he must speak. So, at least if he desires. So, we pray that Prasad Maharaj will be kindly speaking a few words to bless all his devotees. And we can move the microphone.
I would just like to say that Kadambakanda Maharaj has been a very complete presentation, and I have nothing else to say.
Any questions? Please, I'll all ask a question. You're first because you will take second. Ask a question.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
If you can elaborate a little more about the importance of the nectar of devotion.
Oh my goodness. Prabhupada said that it's Rupa Goswami's opus magnus. Rupa Goswami wrote so many books like that. But he calls nectar of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the complete science of devotional service. Yeah. And it is. You know, the Bhagavatam goes 18,000 verses. Right? And then the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a Srimad Bhagavatam class. So I don't know how many verses. But Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he summarizes everything like that. So it's a complete summary of all our work. Yeah. I heard one devotee, Bhadra Vardhan, was a very nice Brahmachari. He said that when it was first released in Los Angeles, Prabhupada said, now read this book 6 times, yeah. And all of your questions will be answered. Not that you say, what is this? What is this? So go on, read it again. And of course, Dhanaramara, that's very, very nice supplement respecting waves of devotion, which gives a very nice explanation of a lot of the intricacies and things that, difficult to understand because it probably had a good quirky and things like that. So it's essential, right? Western way? Eastern way? Eastern part. Is what is devotional service? Who can be a devotee? Sadhana bhakti, Raganuga bhakti, sadhana bhakti, and bhava and prema. Southern part focuses on bhava. The western part focuses on the five primary masas, The northern part then talks about the secondary rasas and a mixture of rasas. So it is very complete. But Rupa Goswami wasn't feeling it was complete enough. So he composed another book after that, Ujjwala Lilamani. And in there he says, and now I'm just going to talk more about this, all the Madhurya Ras. So we have a very, very, very complete tradition. Even scholars of theology, they become the Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu's. Maybe the best presentation of all these different mellows and dimens. Because Teresa of Avila and so many people, they experience the same things, but not the same things. But they describe it. Rupa Goswami describes it so, scientifically. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu ki ja.
Other question? Just ask a question.
Maharaj mentioned how Guru is at the feet of Krishna, and if we turn to Guru, then we automatically turn into Krishna. Could you speak a bit more about that?
About Guru's via Krishna, and if we approach the Guru, we automatically turn to Krishna. Some household, okay. There's Mommy and Daddy and Susie. Susie tries to sneak into the house at 9:15 on a Wednesday night. And Daddy catches her and says, hey, what time is it? It's 9:00. No, it's 9:15. He has the rules. If you get back after 9:00 on a school day night, you're grounded for a week. So the talk was that next Saturday was the big dance, and Tommy invited Susie to go to the big dance. So she's going to be grounded now. So Mommy comes along and says, oh, Daddy, I'm sure Susie agrees with this, but maybe we can just postpone it a week, and she can be grounded a week in the future. So Daddy is hoping Mommy says that. He can't do it, because he has to hold down the rules and regulations. So Krishna has to be God, right? He has to, be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he expands himself as Lord Nityananda, as Lord Bhagavan. In that sense, his only business is to take us through Krishna. But he adjusts in such a way that in different circumstances, then we can find an access. Otherwise, Krishna is just too great to be happy about that. So Guru Tattva. Many nice stories about Lord Nityananda. Did things to get people to Krishna.
That was great.
Mommy, Teddy, Susie, and Tommy. That was great.
I liked it.
It's Tommy.
Yeah.
Tommy.
It makes a big name.
Beth probably said you can teach Shakespeare and Gurukula. Other things too. Macbeth says, if we're done, it is best we're done quickly. Echor Prashna.
Any question?
Maharaj mentioned about for the second meditation, we have to try to become saintly. So, and if not, then actually we can try to take shelter of the behavior of the saintly qualities. So, but how to do that actually? Most of the time we find that even if we try to follow that, most of the time we deviate from those behaviors. So, how to actually just not deviate from that and just be on that path so that we become saintly?
My focus is the nectar of instruction. And Prabhupada talks about diksha in Elizabeth Waste number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Fine. Verse 5. Reading it again and again and again and again and again and again. And finally it comes around that second initiation is actually initiated. Second initiation is spiritually initiated. And there's a conversation in London, like a 35-year-old, 30-year-old Indologist. Nice person, but you know, a little proud of his knowledge. You know. So he asks Prabhupada, so are you doing Diksha? And Prabhupada says, yeah. He asks him to the girls, and Prabhupada says, yeah. Then Prabhupada says, first we give Harinam Diksha, which is more or less experimental. And then we see the devotees are properly qualified, we actually initiate. Then he goes on to say, but Jiva Goswami says, in this age, Harinam Diksha is sufficient. If you follow it, like that and so on. So this second initiation is really Brahman. And at that point you realize that these are actually spiritual. Yeah. But Brahman has also been a very general thing. Was everybody heard the railroad train was coming? That the British established, British were doing a railroad in the central north part of India. At first they're, cutting through the jungle and they're putting these iron rails. Everybody's wondering what is a railroad train? So everybody came, and that was, of course, in India it was late. But finally, way way off of this, it's getting dark, getting a little darker. You see this like it's something kind of moving on, this smoke coming out. And so some people said, oh, the railroad train is a cloud of smoke. We're home again. And the second group waited a little longer. And we saw them the train coming. He said, oh, it's a cloud of smoke, or in the cloud of smoke is a snake. The last group even waited longer. And they saw them in Poland, and there were people sitting inside reading newspapers, and a dining car, and an engineer like that. So Brahman, Paramat, and Bhagavan. Brahman is this general. Of course, that sometimes we deviate. They lock them, deviate in certain ways. When it's more concentrated, when there's third initiation, Goswami, and then they begin to see that the features, Satchit, or Brahman, like that. And of course, and then only when we come to Ananda, can we actually become fully fixed. And so, yeah, it's going to be, we're going to deviate. And, it's just the whole process, everybody's different. So the Bhagavatam and everything else, right? There's so many detailed processes for different people, different circumstances. But basically, following the rules and regulations strictly and keeping good association, those are two things like that. So associated with devotees, adhidhati, pratyabhinati, guhyamakati, prachati, and giving you some prasad and asking confidential questions, and then, We're fixed within the boundaries, and we make progress, and we become more purified, and then we just don't deviate. Little child, we start to walk. How many times do they fall down every day? And they start walking continuously. How many people have fallen down within the last day, falling down when they're walking? One person, two, three. This is it. Not common anymore. So if just continue the process of determination, you'll see that it goes away. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Can you move this a little to the